We are the body of Christ. Amen? Worship team, that was awesome. I needed that. I know that you guys did too. I needed that. That lights my fire. That was awesome. Well, my name is Jeremiah Spencer, and it's my privilege to serve here as the minister of worship. And Marty Carnes preached his last sermon as pastor of this church last week. And good grief, I'm devastated that he's no longer my pastor. But he was and will continue to be a great friend and mentor of mine. Words cannot express just how thankful I am for his fruitful years of ministry and leadership at this church. Back in March, he asked me to preach. I said, yes, sir. God put a sermon on my heart about faith that perseveres. Day before I was supposed to preach, we closed the doors of the church because of the pandemic. And boy, this sermon on faith has taken on a whole new meaning. Listen, if your faith has been tested lately and you feel like you have failed the test, you are not alone, my friend. If you feel confused, frustrated, overwhelmed, and anxious, you are not alone. Can I get an amen? But church family, I want to testify to you this morning that you can put your faith in God and it will not be in vain. You will not be put to shame because God's word is true. His promises are trustworthy. His love is perfect. His grace is overflowing. His power is unrivaled. And his kingdom is eternal. If you have faith in the one true God, say amen. If you've been set free from sin, a little bit louder this time, say amen. Praise God. We're ready now. Would you join me in God's holy word in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and verse 36. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. In this passage, the Apostle Paul is encouraging his fellow believers who have experienced unthinkable persecution for their faith in God. He says in verse 36, "You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming," talking about Jesus, "will come and will not delay." And in verse 38, Paul is going to quote a proclamation of God from the book of Habakkuk. The Lord says, "But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back." God takes no pleasure in the one who shrinks back when their faith is tested. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." God takes no delight in the ones who draw back, turn away, and retreat from their faith when life gets difficult, when things are unpredictable, unclear, and unfair. Hebrews 10:38, "But my righteous one will live by faith. I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back." Verse 39, "But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." Now we're going to dig deeper and discover the kind of faith he's talking about found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Some mistake faith for a feeling or an emotion. Some think faith is blind optimism or just positive thinking. Faith is not a robotic, brainless acceptance of God and His Word. It's not hoping that something might be true. Real faith is confidence, certainty, and assurance in what we hope for. Faith is not a virtue. It's a way of life, an active daily commitment. It's absolute conviction based on the assurance of God's unchangeable and perfect character that God's promises will be fulfilled. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. What do we hope for as Christ followers? I'll give you three really important ones. One, we have hope in the resurrection. the resurrection of Jesus and what that means for us. 1 Peter 1:3 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because of His great love, He made a way for us to be made new, born again, raised with Him, not into a set of rules or into a dead-end faith, but into a living hope grounded in the living Word of God, made possible by the living Son of God." Number two, we hope for Christ's return. Titus 2:11 says this, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." And when He returns and takes us home, number three, we hope to reign with God in heaven. Revelation 22:5 says this, "There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." You see, the hopes of this sinful world fade and perish with time, but our hope, our inheritance, becomes greater and more glorious as time passes. We have assurance that the salvation we receive, the love of God, His Word, His promises, our eternal life in His presence can never perish, spoil, or fade. Amen? Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. 1 Peter 1:8 says this, "Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." We live by faith, not by sight. We have confidence beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again. He ascended into heaven, now seated at the right hand of God in all glory and majesty, and at the perfect time, He will return. As His blood-bought children, we believe, we have hope, and we are filled with a glorious joy that cannot be expressed in words. Amen? The end result of our faith is eternal fellowship with God in heaven. But you see, faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Faith treats the things hoped for as fact and places confidence today in what has been promised for the future. Through great faith, we get to experience now a glimpse of the final glory of salvation when we meet Jesus face to face. We get to experience some of the future glory of heaven through faith here and now. Praise you, King Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." Now, beginning in verse 4, Paul's going to start calling out the names of these ancients, or as he calls them later, a great cloud of witnesses. And we're going to discover why this is vitally important for us and how it applies to us in this time of need. Here we go. Verse 4. "By faith, Abel brought a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead." In humble obedience to God's command, Abel gave the very best of his flock to God, a worthy blood offering given in faith with a joyful attitude by which God was pleased. None of Abel's words are recorded in the Bible, but his life, his testimony of faith, still speaks loud and clear to this day. Let's follow his example. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Don't miss this. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Enoch lived by faith in a very wicked and perverse time in human history. I'd venture to say that our world today is very wicked and perverse. For Enoch's 300 years of life on earth, he made a daily commitment to walk with God, consistently, faithfully walking with God against the pull of the sin and wickedness around him. Let's follow his example. Verse 7 tells us that by faith, Noah built an ark. Based solely on the word of God, which is something others didn't listen for, he built an ark, which is something that had never existed before, in order to prepare for great rains and a flood, which is something that had never happened before. He had no evidence. He had no experience. All he had and all he needed was God's word. Let's follow his example. Amen? Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going, he didn't have a clue where God was leading him. He obeyed and went, even though he had no clue what God had in store for him. Anyone else feel like they don't know where they're going in life right now? Abraham didn't need to know where God was leading him because by faith, he knew God would lead him where he needed to go. Let's follow his example. Verse 11. And by faith, even Sarah, Abraham's wife, who was past childbearing age, was unable to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. God is not limited by human logic or time. Even though her time had passed and God's plan was humanly impossible, this 90-year-old woman gave birth to what God promised. She received what God had promised because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Let's follow her example. Verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died, and they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Why? Look at verse 16. They were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. They didn't get to see the fullness of the universal blessing that had been promised, the coming of the Savior. They never got to see that. But they carried their faith to the grave without any evidence of the promise, but with full confidence in the promise, because their faith didn't depend on what they could see. Their faith did not depend on what they could make happen or what they could understand and control. They planted seeds of faith that grew by the grace of God long after their death. And future generations got to see the rich harvest. Future generations got to witness and were blessed by what God had started through them. Let's follow their example. Back in verse 11, remember, God enabled Sarah to have a child because of her faith. That child's name was Isaac. God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. So what did Abraham do? We find out in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Wrapped up in little Isaac, a true miracle of God, was the hope and promise of a great nation. But Abraham, because of his unyielding faith in God's plan, was willing to do so. He was willing to sacrifice the long-awaited son of promise, through whom all of God's promises would become true. Abraham had faith that if he had to go through with it, God would somehow bring Isaac back from the dead so that God could still fulfill his promise. He passed the test of faith. God spared Isaac and provided an innocent ram to be sacrificed in his place. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. You see, God's will was for Jacob to receive his father's blessing. But Isaac tried to do things his own way and blessed Esau. But when he was tricked into blessing Jacob, instead, he recognized God's will, surrendered to it, blessed Jacob on purpose, and put his faith in God's plan instead of his own. It's never too late to start putting your faith in God and following his plan. Amen? Let's follow his example. Verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on top of his staff. God promised Jacob that he would become a great nation, that he would give Jacob and his descendants the promised land. But Jacob never got to see those promises fulfilled. He didn't see the promised land. But by genuine faith that persevered, he passed on that promise to a new generation. He passed on his faith and his Christ-like life to a new generation of believers. Let's follow his example. Jacob said to Joseph in Genesis 48, 21, I'm about to die, but God will be with you and take you back to the land of your fathers. Hebrews chapter 11, let's continue in verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. What in the world does that mean? How does that apply to us? You see, Joseph had faith in the same promise given to Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham. Those that came before him left a legacy of faith that he is now passing on. He made his family swear an oath upon his death to take his bones to the promised land, not if they arrived there, but when they arrived there. The Israelites became slaves in Egypt. God delivered them. They walked out of Egypt carrying Joseph's coffins. They wandered in the wilderness, still carrying his bones. 140 years after Joseph died, they finally received the promise, and they buried his bones in the soil of the promised land. He said, don't put me in a pyramid. Put me in the promised land when you get there, because God made us a promise, and y'all are going to see it come true. Oh, that is awesome. That kind of faith. To see that far away, that God made us a promise, I don't care how long it takes, just take my bones with you. Put me in there when you get there. Oh, praise God. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Hello, somebody. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Why? Because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Because faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Verse 28. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies Joshua sent into Jericho, she was not killed with those who were disobedient. Rahab made a career out of sinning. But as God's army marched around the walls of her city, she made a bold leap of faith, trusted God, and let God's people into her home. She turned her back on the pagan idols she grew up worshiping and joined the mission of the one true and living God. The spies told her to hang a scarlet-colored rope outside of her window. They would skip over the house with the symbol of the blood-red cord. Rahab did so. She stood alone, the only one out of her city, to stand against the culture of sin around her. She put her faith in God's plan for her salvation, and she was saved. Let's follow her example. Verse 33, Paul mentions judges, kings, and prophets who, through faith, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released, so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. A life of faith will not always lead to a life of comfort. Life of faith is not always going to lead you to the life of comfort. You see, when you live a life of true faith, you might not get to see and understand why, where, when, how, and through whom God is working. He might not reveal that to you. These ordinary people with extraordinary faith held on to God's promises through misfortune and mystery, through trial and torture, through famine and through flood, through confusion and in crisis, in wealth and in want, in the highlands and in the heartache. They had confidence in what they hoped for and assurance about what they did not see. These were all saved on credit, so to speak, because verse 39 says this: "These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." That something better is Jesus, who came to pay the debt of everyone's sins in full with his blood on the cross. Those of us who live after Jesus came have something better than they did. We don't look forward to the first coming of a Savior. We look back on the settled fact that He came, He died, He rose, and He will return. They saw but a shadow of things to come. We have the full picture. They were looking through the keyhole, but for us, God opened wide the door. They had fragments of the Word of God. We have the complete Word of God. How much more faith should we have, church family? Can't you see it? It was always God's plan, like a holy whisper spoken at the beginning of all things, ever increasing in volume and clarity. The sacrifice of Jesus foreshadowed from the start. Abel's sins were covered by the blood sacrifice of the innocent firstborn of his flock. Abraham was going to sacrifice his one and only son, who carried the wood on his shoulders to the place of his death. Isaac was supposed to die, but God provided an innocent ram that died in his place as a substitute. The Israelites were saved by the application of blood on their doorposts. Rahab was spared from destruction, for the blood-red cord marked her sins forgiven. God had something better planned for us. Look what our God has done, and have faith. It's not a whisper anymore. It's a victorious battle cry, splitting the curtain that separated us from God. It is finished. One name echoing through eternity by which we must be saved: Jesus. God's one and only Son, fully God and fully man, our waymaker, our miracle worker, our promise keeper, our light in the darkness, was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. He lived a perfect life as the spotless lamb and the conquering lion. He made the blind see and the lame walk. He raised the dead, cast out demons, walked on the water, loved the broken and gave hope to the hopeless. He accepted torture for us. His body was broken and his blood poured out for us. He was nailed to a cross that we should have been on. He died with the crushing weight of every sin upon his shoulders and was laid in a borrowed tomb. Darkness thought it had won. But where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Jesus rose up from the grave with our freedom in hand. What the enemy meant for evil, God planned for eternal good. Death had us locked up. He took the keys. We owed a debt to sin. He canceled it. We were spiritual orphans. He adopted us. We were doomed for hell, but he made a place for us in heaven. Have faith in the Lord. Amen? Praise him. Praise you, God. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Here's the application. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, he says, look what God did through all these ordinary people with extraordinary faith that persevered, and let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. In the name of Jesus and by his power, throw off the sins that have you tangled up. Ask for forgiveness and repent. We have work to do here. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Paul told us to run with perseverance because the gateway to life is narrow and the road is difficult. Amen? But we know that by the grace of God, faith produces hope, and hope produces perseverance. Paul is painting an incredible picture of truth for us. Just imagine this. The scene is a coliseum, a vast sports arena. The occasion is a foot race, a distance event. The contestants by mutual faith are us. A great cloud of witnesses fills the stadium, each one a gold medal winner for faith that persevered. Everywhere you look in the arena, there's a hero of faith shouting, I kept my faith in God, so can you. You can do it. Look what God did through my faith. Look what he did despite all my mistakes. Let go of your sin. Hold on to your faith. Forsake distractions. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Finish strong. Trust him with your health. Trust him with your family. Trust him with your bank account. Trust him with your job, your church, your calling, and your future. Have faith. And if your faith grows weak on this narrow, difficult road, you just look at verse 3. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Our Savior had his eyes set on things unseen. He fixed his eyes on future joy and future glory in heaven. He was tempted and tried, mocked, spit on, cursed, beaten, whipped, torn, his head crowned with thorns, hands and feet nailed to the cross. They gave him bitter drink and shoved a spear in his side. But he had faith in God the Father that persevered. Let's follow his example. I close with this. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 says this. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Have faith in the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer in this time of need. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of your word. We pray this simple prayer today, a commitment as a church family. Forgive us when our faith is weak, and give us faith that perseveres according to your will, by your power, and for your glory. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.